Hello, everybody. It's Luke, your best friend, your DM, blah, 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 all of that nonsense. How you all doing? This isn't how an episode normally starts. Where's the music? You're probably thinking. Well, it's just a very quick intro at the beginning of the episode. First of all, I just want to apologise for the fact that we haven't dropped an episode in literally months now. Life's got in the way. What else can I say? We've all got personal life. We've come out of lockdown. Shit's happened and we haven't managed to do much. We do actually have about 6 episodes in the can waiting to be edited and dropped that we recorded about 3 months ago. We just haven't had a chance to do that. We haven't even recorded since then. Like I said, fucking life's just got in the way, unfortunately, and we've had to do like real stuff like work. Sorry about that. Thank you for, I hope, you know, you're still subscribed and so that's why you're listening to this. As a special treat, I thought what I'd do is I have edited together all of the Call of Cthulhu stuff that we recorded when we were still streaming live last year. This was recorded in July 2020, over a year ago, and we promised you that we were going to get it out, and then we didn't. And then we said that we were going to get it out at Halloween, and we didn't. So here it is. It's not up to its normal scratch of quality, unfortunately, because I've done this, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. If you haven't listened to the first episode, it's available. Scroll through our list of episodes, what you want to call it, a back catalogue, and you can find it. It was dropped last year, October, I think it was. But here's the rest of them. I'm going to try and get these out over the next couple of weeks, and then hopefully we're going to start getting back onto schedule now that summer's here. Lisa's, you know, as a teacher, got time off, etc., etc. But thank you for your patience, and sorry we've let you down. In the meantime, what is it I always used to say? I can't even remember now. It's been so long. Don't let the dice die, or some crap like that, or roll high and be safe. I don't know. Hope you're well. Thank you. Welcome to another episode of the whatever we're calling ourselves at the moment, the D&D show.
D&D.
We are currently under the pseudonym of the Call of the Cthulhu show. That's right. We are currently on a little bit of a sidetrack as we've got some people unavailable. So we are making our way through just a side quest of Call of Cthulhu. We've never played it before. We're new. It's exciting. We're learning as we go. My name's Luke. I am normally your dungeon master, but currently I am known as the Keeper. That's basically the same thing in Call of Cthulhu. I am joined by the wonderful Sean F. Lee.
Hello.
Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Gavin Bourne.
Good evening.
And as a special guest in this little adventure, we've got the wonderful, she's doing very well for her first ever tabletop role playing experience, Emily. I still can't pronounce this. Keneally.
Oh, that was it.
Perfect. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
So, for those of you listening at home on the podcast, which is a couple of weeks away, Lisa is still off dealing with her family. James has got no working computer. So, we've gone on a side mission. And Emily's stepped up to the plate to help us out and is Sean's, girlfriend, ball and chain.
Thing.
Mate.
The latest of a long, long list of things. How long have you two been together?
How long, Sean?
A year. I don't know what the date is, but a year in about a week and a bit.
About a week and a bit.
Wow. I don't know what today's number is.
Today is the 14th. Of July.
Oh, 11 days.
11 days.
11 days.
Oh, God, lovely.
Disgusting.
Well, lots of things planned, aren't we? We're going to...
Oh, yeah.
Going to stay in. We might go to the park.
Not going to go to the pub then?
No, no. Still, no. People go to the pub.
Socially distanced meal. Oh. You know, you can go into a shop. You can go into a shop with a mask, but you don't go for a pub or a meal with a mask, you know.
No. No. You can do have a nice little picnic somewhere.
A picnic, yes.
Yeah, a
little bit of a steak and a blowjob. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's February? No, March 14th, that one. International Steak and Blowjob Day. March 14th, mark it on your calendar.
Get your dick out, babe.
Yeah. I mean, the philosophy is February 14th is, of course, Valentine's Day, where a man dotes on their other half. I mean, it's traditionally, of course, but we're in an inclusive society now, so where one partner would dote on the other partner. And then the month later, February 14th, is the opportunity for the other partner to return the favour by cooking them a steak.
Do you know what the worst thing about that is? She can't cook for shit.
Gives a good blowjob, though.
We're about to have the risk. Is that what you would? Do you want
this is a family show anyway. Cool.
Please, Luke, you are offending me right now. I am vegan.
Oh, sorry. No kibasa sausages for you then. I don't know. I mean, how does that work? As if you're a vegan, does sperm, does that constitute as
you know what, right?
I suppose it's given willingly, isn't it? That's the thing with vegans, is it's taking from an animal, you know, without their permission. But I suppose if it's given freely,
nothing with a face, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Does sperm have a face?
Well,
what did we watch the other night? It was great. Embarrassing Bodies. And there was a woman who was allergic to sperm. And although she thought she was allergic to sperm.
She thought she was, but she just had, wasn't it, like a really bad thrush or something? No,
it was so silly.
I watched years ago, because it wasn't a thing where they rock up with a van and then people go in because it's an embarrassing thing. And this guy went in there because he had a smelly dick. And that was it. It was just like, I'll wash it. I'll wash it a couple of times a day, but it just really stinks and I can't get a girlfriend because, like, you know, it's so embarrassing. I can't get a girl home because I don't want them to smell it. And basically they were like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you, just some people have smelly dicks, mate. Just wash it and spray a bit of perfume on it.
That's horrendous.
Did you see the guy that was on there that didn't wash his dick and he was like, there's a problem with my knob, and it's like, do you ever wash under the no, I don't. And it's there's your problem. And it was just
your problem.
Something. That's a conversation I'm looking forward to having with my kids as they get older. We recently discovered that my eldest boy, you know, again, for years now, he's 11.
Oh, just embarrass him.
He's 11 now. So for years, for quite a few years now, he's been bathing and showering himself, you know, because he's a big kid now. But recently discovered that he just doesn't wash his face. I know it's quite a little thing, but like he was shocked at the concept. He was like, what? Nobody washes their face. And we're like, yes, mate. Like, you need to wash your face. Yes, so this will be a conversation. The next conversation I have with him will be like, you need to wash your dick. Anyway, let's play some Call of Cthulhu, So basically,
I don't know if to leave that in or cut it out.
Oh, leave it all in. That's what she said.
That's the lesson you got to teach him afterwards.
Yeah. So last week, last episode, we didn't do a whole lot. We've just talked about Call of Cthulhu. We're all brand new. None of us have played it before. I've had about 6 hours to prepare today reading the quick start rules, which are available for free on Roll20 and through the website for Call of Cthulhu, which is Chaosium or something like that. Google it or whatever. And we've just kind of discussed the rules. We've built some characters and we've come up with three characters for you. So, Gavin, you're playing Dave Pisswinkle, a washed up journalist who basically was disgraced because you were writing about the occult and about aliens, about weird stuff for World News. And, you know, basically no one kind of takes you with any... No one gives you any credit or anything for it. They're kind of a bit of a laughstock. Sean, you're playing Dick Casey, an ex-detective. Similarly, you were kind of disgraced as a cop, kind of fired. You think you were in the right. You feel as though that you were onto some kind of big case, but for some, maybe it was a bit fishy. Maybe it's, you know, the police were being paid off or something and you were the fall guy and you've been sacked. And you're now working as a private eye. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Emily as
monologuing as well.
Emily as Dorothy Bridge. When she was a younger girl, she had these dreams of going to Hollywood, being a star, but parents squashed that. Sent you to uni. You're now an English teacher, and recently, we don't know how long ago, this is how you guys all know each other, recently there was some kind of case that you had come to these guys to solve, and you as a threesome have been solving this mystery murder or kidnapping or something. The details are irrelevant. Together, and you've kind of formed the DDD private eye team, triple D. As somebody called Mr. Knott comes into your office one day and explains to you that he's a landowner. He last year bought a house from auction, got it dirt cheap, but then couldn't rent it out. Finally, a family moved in from out of town, an Italian family, the Vicario family. But not any longer than a month later, this family basically went mad. They didn't pay their rent. They got evicted. They got sent to a sanitarium. Their husband, the father of the family, completely batshit crazy, and the mother of the family, Mrs. Vicario, was also completely lost the plot, and they were sent to whatever I fucking said it was. I haven't got Roll 20 up. The Roxbury Sanatorium. Their two little boys are out of town in Baltimore, staying with some relatives as well. And that's how we kind of left it. He's offered to pay you. You're going to look into it. He wants to know what the history is of the building. What has he got himself in for? You know, why was it so cheap? So that he can then use and then, you know, and then investigate the house as well. Find out if there's any truth to the rumours of it being haunted, so that he could potentially clear its name or resell it or decide what to do with this property. And you've accepted the challenge. So we ended last week with kind of you guys deciding what to do, whether you're going to go, you know, look at records, go to the library. There's the Boston Globe that you can look up information in there. So that's pretty much where we left off. What are we doing then, guys?
Well, I was going to the Boston Globe.
Yep, I'm off to the Hall of Records.
Mm-hmm. And I'm off to the library.
Okay. Who wants to have their scene first?
Go for it, guys.
Okay. Was that a volunteer from you, Sean?
Yeah, no, that was me volunteering the other two.
Okay.
Let's go to the library.
Let's go to the library.
Okay. So, one thing I needed to let you guys have, so if you check your journals, I will make it await for you, is the first handout of the adventure. If I show that to you, you should now have handout one. That's basically just the synopsis of the adventure, the mystery that we're investigating. Landlord Mr. Knott asked you to examine an old house in central Boston, blah blah blah, known as the Corbett House. You can, if you want to refer to that, you should be able to find that now in your notes in your journal. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Right. Location: the Central Library. It's a library. I don't know what a library looks like. It's a big building. Perhaps. What kind of time of day would we say? So they say Mr. Knott came to you guys in the morning. So you've decided to look into this same day, or would you kind of put it off to the next day, or what else have you got to do?
I think same day. Like maybe this is now early afternoon. Like she's just set straight off. Yeah, cool. I think so.
All right, brilliant. So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe the library and Ghostbusters. You know, big city building. You're going big old boat there. Okay, so basically it's, you got to do research, so we're not going to role play every kind of minute you're going to spend in there. Essentially, for every half a day that you want to spend, so you've got there just after lunch, you want to spend the next sort of 5 hours in there until it's closing time researching. What you basically need to do is make a library use roll. Okay. You need to roll equal to or less than your skill on a D100.
Cool.
Oh, wonderful. That's cool. Did I do that?
Yeah. So you've done that. Library use for Dorothy Bridge, regular, versus, so you had to roll less than 50, you rolled a 92. Okay. So unfortunately, not quite high enough to be a fumble or that critical fail, but you just don't find it. You've been scrawling through hours and hours, flicking through, trying to find it, and you just don't find anything. Do some libraries open? Maybe you've gone, maybe, you know, but you know, part of the university campus,
yeah, my one does, but you have to have a code for it.
Yeah, all night long, so you could potentially carry on into the night if you wanted to.
No, I'm going to go home and have a nap.
So you go home.
This wonderful role-play game where you can do anything you want and she naps.
Well, that's right. This game's all kind of centred around real life, and that's what you would do. You'd go home and have a kid. You don't find anything. It's an exhausting day. You don't find anything. So let's skip over to the next person then. Who's going next for the story?
Yeah, I'll go next.
All right, Gavin, where were you going to? The Boston Globe?
The Boston Globe.
Okay, so you can't just you can walk into the front, but you can't just walk in and start searching through their records of the Boston Globe. It's a tall building. It's Boston's not a massive city. This is 1920. It's still on the up and up, so it's not a massive skyscraper like the Daily Bugle or anything in Spine, like, but it's a fairly big building for its time. You go in through the door. And there's some people bustling around. You can see, like, behind, like, glass panels and stuff, like, of the walls, that people working and smacking away on their typewriters and stuff like that. But there's a receptionist, a lady sat at a desk.
Yep. I'm speaking to her, I take it.
I suppose.
Oh, I love
tearing each other out.
Oh, I love. Can you tell me anything about the Corbett House?
Love it.
Okay, so now I've got to try and remember how to do an American accent. Not that I could do one before. Some lady, like, oh, God. I can't. Nope, I can't. I just drink some more beer.
Go for it. Mine's shit.
Give me it. Spare me one. I need an accent. Emily, give me an American accent.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just going to talk like that, I think. I don't know.
That's a good accent, actually.
Very good.
Oh, hi. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you today?
I'm looking for information about a house called the Corbett House. Do you know anything about it, or is there anything in your records that you can help me with?
Bosh.
Well, now, the old Corbett House, can't say that that's something that I'm familiar with, but perhaps it might be something down in the morgue. That might be something that you can have a look at, but we just don't let anybody down there to kind of peruse through to their whim. You here on any kind of official business?
Yeah, I'm investigating some people that have gone a bit mental up there, and we're wondering if there's some jiggery pokery going on. So
I do apologise, Darren, but I'm just having some difficulty understanding your accent. Where are you from?
Well, East End of London, isn't I?
Oh, golly, that's a long way away. What brings you here to old Boston?
Money.
Money does make the world go round. Money talks as well.
Certainly does. How about I slip you? Not a length, but a dollar.
That sounds like a Western film, not a length but a dollar.
And we'll see how we get on.
Well, I do like your charm, but let's have a look here just to see very quickly what the gold guide says. Well, the Clippings files down in the morgue are not open to the general public. It does say here that you'll have to persuade Artie Wilmot, who's the editor. He's the only one with access down there. He has the key in his office. I can set you up an appointment.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So it's okay. Just give me a moment. And she starts kind of flicking through a diary and stuff. And says, well, actually... Let's roll a luck to see if there's an appointment today. So just roll less than your luck score on your character sheet.
Okay, so I rolled a D100. And I rolled... I think that's 90. Yeah, 90.
Yeah, so that's a 90 what?
That's a 93.
No, very well. There's a fail because it's over your luck score.
Massively.
Yeah. Massively. Okay. Yeah, so she's like, no, sorry. He hasn't got anything till... not for another two weeks, about 15 days, I'm afraid. But I can certainly book you in.
Right, okay. Well, let's get that booked in. And if you can just go and check if he's in for me.
Well, I mean, he's always in, unless he's at the end of the day. Let's have a look. What time did we say it was now? It was after lunch that she went off to the library. Is it? What kind of time of day do you think it is here?
Yeah, it's just after lunch as well.
Well, he'll be due back any minute from his lunch break. I suppose if you hang around, you might be able to catch him, but he's a busy man.
I'll catch him. I'll wait in the foyer for him.
Sure thing, sweetie. Anything else I can help you with today?
No, I don't think so.
So you hang around for not long, and then like this kind of pushy guy comes in, and he's got like a shirt with his sleeves rolled up a little bit, and there's a pack of cigarettes in the cuff of the shirt and stuff like that, and he's smoking as he's walking because it's the 1920s and everyone smoked and you could smoke in buildings, and he's just puffing away and he's just laughing away, and then some young enthusiastic reporter comes that shuttles up to him and he's like, Mr. what did I say your name was? Mr. Wilmot, sir, I was just wondering with this thing here, and he's like, not now, Brian, don't have the time to deal with this. I just got back from my lunch and I go get myself a coffee and I got a meeting at this. And it's just like, just pelts him away. So you know he's there, but he doesn't look like he's an easy man to approach. What do you do?
Kick him in the bollocks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love the way he's not retracting it. Amazing.
That's it.
No, I'll slide over and I'll say, wait, Governor, excuse me, Mr. R.T. Williams.
Yes?
I only need 2 minutes of your time.
What do you want? Who are you? Have you got photographs to sell? You want to go and see Jenny over there at the desk? She'll sort you out.
No, my name's Dave Pisswinkle.
Pisswinkle?
Yep, have you heard of me?
I'm quite well known. Shit rag journalist. What the hell do you want in here? This is a respectful business.
Yeah, respectful business, but I need to know some information about the Corbett House. Do you know anything about it? And if so, if not, can I just check out your records?
Corbett House? That's not made the news in years. What business do you have down investigating down there?
Well, we've got a family that moved in there a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And they seem we've all gone a little bit crazy.
Ah, let me guess. Another alien story, huh?
Well...
Pisswinkle?
That's what I need to find out.
Hmm. Okay. So, make a roll. If the investigator is trying to win Artie around with friendliness, you can use the charm skill. If the investigator is being aggressive towards Artie, use the intimidate skill. I wouldn't say you've been aggressive. If the investigator is using rational arguments to persuade Artie, use the persuade skill. If the investigator is trying to con Artie, use the fast talk skill. So you're not trying to con, you're not being aggressive. So I will let you choose between charm and persuade.
I'll go for charm.
Okay.
I got 70 for that. So.
Okay, so you need to roll less than 70.
Roll both
at the same time.
That's good. I got 12.
Hey. Lovely. So that would be an extreme success, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a fifth. So absolutely. So it's like, look. I haven't got time with this. You promised me that our name won't be studied. We know nothing about it. Anything you dig up, anything you print in any of your crappy magazines, I will plead ignorance. We know nothing about it, and I will sue you for every penny that you're worth. Do you understand me?
Yeah, don't worry about me, Governor. I'm not writing for that rag anymore anyway. I'm doing a bit of DIY work these days.
Right. Okay. So he kind of gets a key off of his thingy. Brings it off, and then that boy earlier on, what did I say his name was? Bright.
Yeah.
Fuck knows.
Timmy Knobhead.
It's like, hey, Timmy, come here. And Tim is like, and he's like, just comes over with a coffee, shaking. He's like, here's your coffee, sir. And she's like, nah, and he just got whacked out of his hand. It's like, take old Pisswinkle downstairs to the morgue, will you? Keep an eye on him. Don't let him get up to any fishy business down there. Yes, sir. So he takes you downstairs to the morgue, and we'll come back to see what you find down there in a bit.
Wonderful.
Ooh. Dick Casey, private investigator extraordinaire. What are you up to?
I have gone to the Hall of Records.
Hall of Records. Let's see what it says about the Hall of Records. So the Hall of Records. Hall of Records, ask for a library use role. So you guys pick the easy one. Library use role, if successful, I give you a handout. There you go. So basically, civil court records. So I think, yeah, it's like an official business, like where like courts are, and lawyers hang around, and judges and shit like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about current day what is what, let alone what this crap was in America nearly 100 years ago, in fact. So it's we're going to say that it's in the courthouse, but it's around the back a little bit. And it's, yeah, it's where they hold anything from kind of legal documents and stuff. But it's public domain, so like anybody can go and shift through this stuff, same as a library. Especially as a PI, you've probably got some kind of PI pass, so you can go in and start flicking through. So it's the same deal with Dorothy. You need to basically spend time going through records. So for your first half a day role, library use, and what's your score?
Library use. I don't have library use.
Okay. You do. It's just you can do any skill, which just means you're not great at it. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you would need to roll under a 20.
Under a 20.
It is difficult. Yeah,
that is a 65.
Yeah, so you're there for hours. You don't know, you're not used to this kind of stuff really of looking through up. And that's kind of our fault as a team, because I didn't kind of realise that there might have been something that was quite useful for a PI to have taken, but we didn't realise that that's what the skill meant.
Okie doke.
But you don't find anything. Let's have a look just to see what it says. Have you got law?
Yeah, that's mid 70.
I will allow a law roll based on the fact that's what you probably assumed it was going to be used for, is looking at law records and stuff. So what if we split the difference and roll under a 50?
Okie doke. 35.
That would do it. Okay. So I've now put this inside your journal. Handout number 7. You should be able to see it.
Yep.
If you would like to read out for the audience what you find.
As I walked into the Hall of Records, I picked up the handout number 7. It claimed that the civil court records show that the executor of the Walter Corbett's will was Reverend Michael Thomas, pastor of the Chapel of Contemplation and Church of Our Lord, Granter of Secrets. The Register of Churches, brackets also available in the Hall of Records, close brackets, notes the closure of the Chapel of Contemplation in 1912. I thought about what this meant.
That's what you find at the Hall of Records.
Okay,
what kind of thing would you want to do with that information?
So the Corbett, so the Corbett was the original owner, wasn't it? I think from what
the Corbett's house.
The Corbett's house. I think I want to see if I can track down the Reverend Michael Thomas.
So you want to look up the Chapel of Contemplation?
Chapel of Contemplation.
Okay, so... you need to spend some more time digging around, but with your original role, you will find something, but you're there late into the evening digging and digging.
Okay.
Eventually, in the criminal court records, you find references to actions taken in 1912. So we're in 1920, so 8 years ago.
Okay.
However, the actual records are not present.
Okay. this is at the Hall of Records. Is there anyone to...
They're missing. There's reference to them, but then when you check up the reference of where they should... where you think they would be, there's nothing there.
Is there anyone to speak to see if anyone's checked out any records, like a library book type thing?
Yeah, but there'll be like some kind of clerk around that you can ask, sure.
Okay. I will find a clerk, if that's okay.
Yep. Okay, so what did you say to...
I don't know what I meant to say.
What did you say to... What? What are you saying?
What are you saying?
Yeah, so there's like a desk clerk kind of filing stuff around. Somebody's filing shit in the back corner somewhere that you can ask.
Excuse me, ma'am.
I'm a woman, okay.
Hell yeah. Could I have some of your time?
Yeah, sure, darling. What can I do you for, huh?
You see, I'm looking for a particular record. But it's missing from your records. I wondered if I could have a register of anyone that's checked out any information, or someone that's maybe signed in to look at a particular area of your records.
Well, nobody checks stuff out of here. That's against the rules. You can't just take anything out. But certain files, it's just... What are you looking for? What's that you got there?
I'm looking for some information on the priest Michael Thomas for the Chapel of Contemplation. He was the I've lost all my shit. He was the main will person. He was the executor of the will.
Ah, right, okay.
Of the old Corbett's house. You may have heard of it.
So she takes it off and has a look and says, "Oh yeah, see right here. So where it says here, this is criminal court records. So it says here, serious crimes. We wouldn't hold the serious crime stuff here. That's handled in the county, commonwealth, or federal courts. One of them, but yeah, not here, I'm afraid, darling. Sorry, I couldn't be any more help.
No problem. Has anyone come in asking of this person, or have you heard anything?
Not to my knowledge, no. I'm just a lawyer's assistant, clerk person.
And where would you suggest I go to find out further information on this?
I just said, it would be either in the county, the commonwealth, or the federal courts. One of those three. County courts, commonwealth courts, or the federal courts. Says la 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 la. Yeah, and you'll be rolled law before you're 35. It says a successful law skill roll can indicate you the same thing as well, so you'd know that it wouldn't be kept there to be in one of those. But what you could do, it says here, is records of city officers participating in arrests or seizures are filed at the central police station.
Aha. Right, I think I'd like to head to the police station whenever.
So that would be a
time.
Job for tomorrow. So you've gone back and you'll probably go home, go to sleep, and maybe we'll deal with yourself and Dorothy soon. Sorry, Dorothy, I appreciate that. Sat quiet
still,
for some time.
Still nothing.
So we're still going to just finish off this day. Let's just check in back with old Dave Pisswinkle at the Boston Globe. What did you find? So you get down into the what they call the morgue, which is where they basically keep dead files and stuff like that. Yep. You go down it, and again, picture, like I said earlier on, different building, but I'm picturing Ghostbusters when they go down and it's all high shelves, these really dusty, loads of old dusty files, and it's dark and dingy. You're taken down some steps by... Well, we called him Timothy, but it says here Ruth Blake. So Timothy Blake, the records keeper, into a dusty basement filled with filing cabinets stacked high with old newspapers and other assorted junk. The whole room smells musty, and the boiler system in the corner gives out a lot of heat. Really hot down here. Clippings are filed by street address. Since the players have already had to succeed in Dice Wars to get to the morgue, it would be churlish to stop them getting the one clue that is here, so it should be made obvious. Pass handout 2 to the player.
Wallop.
Handout 2 should now be in your journal if you'd like to read that for the audience.
Handout 2, unpublished story, Boston Globe, 1918. I think I keep changing my accent.
It's all right.
Great.
1918, feature story, which was never published. It states that in 1880, a family of French immigrants moved into the house but fled after a series of violent accidents left the parents dead and 3 children crippled. The house long stood vacant. In 1909, another family moved in and immediately fell prey to illness. In 1914, the oldest brother went mad and killed himself with a kitchen knife, and the heartbroken family moved out. In 1918, a third family, the Macarios, rented the house, but they left almost immediately after they all became ill at the same time.
I think the Macarios are the family.
The ones that were just in there.
Yeah.
So, 1880, a family of French immigrants first moved in, and they fled after a series of violent accidents.
Yeah, so we're just going to retcon some of the timelines, because I said that this was all quite recent. We're 1920, but it was a couple of years ago then. So we're in 1920. 2 years ago, this family went crazy and moved out, and he's not been able to
rent the place.
Maybe he's actually acquired it after then, but isn't able to rent it because this has happened. We'll just retcon that, because I got the timelines mixed up.
Yeah, so
we're in 1920. So this is a story from 2 years ago when the Macario family moved in and shortly moved out, all crazy. 1880, so that was 40 years ago. Family of French immigrants moved in and fled after the parents died and children crippled. House was vacant for a long time. In 1909, so this is now 29 years later, still 11 years ago, another family moved in, immediately fell prey to illness. 5 years later, so now 6 years ago, the eldest brother went mad and killed himself with a kitchen knife, and the heartbroken family moved out. 1918, 2 years ago, the Macarios rented the house but left almost immediately after they all became ill at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What's making them ill? So let's say at the end of the day, you've taken this information that you've all got together, apart from Dorothy, who's yet not found anything, met back up at the office, and then let's have this conversation of what you've discovered and what you think it might pertain to.
So what have we got, huh?
Yeah, what have you been up to, Dorothy? What have you found out?
Well, I did try and find some documents, but there is nothing in the library, so I went home.
Right. Poor kid.
I was there for like 5 hours, so it was really tedious.
What?
Well, I was staring at empty shelves. There was nothing about the house or the family or anything.
Fair enough. Well, what about you, Dick?
Well, I did find that the I can't figure out these words. Wait, let me get my notes up.
The executor, Michael Thomas.
The executor of the will of Walter Corbett was a reverend called Michael Thomas, the pastor of the Chapel of Contemplation. When I looked further into that, I found that the record of him and any knowledge of him and the will itself was missing from the files. A nice little hot toddy clerk told me that I can find my information at the central police station, a place I don't care to visit.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I went down to the Globe and some prick gave me the access down to the to the morgue. I went down there and looked down there. It seems there's like some dodgy goings on at that house. There's been a few strange occurrences over the years. And we've got to get to the bottom of it, I reckon.
Sounds like a plan.
Wonderful. Well, I wonder where this Chapel of Contemplation is and if it's still around.
Yeah, I think I think the police station is the place to go to find out more about that. would there be anyone else who knew about the Chapel of Contemplation? I presume it's local.
What do you think? I mean, again, there's something that you could probably find out through some investigation. Let's have a look. You need to find out what it is and where it is first.
Yes.
So,
I think I could find that maybe at the police station.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's pretty much your lead for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anywhere we all go together.
I guess we can find out at the police station about this, the occurrences that have happened as well. Because there seem to be quite violent deaths.
Yeah. Do you want to see if you can maybe find out more at the, maybe another day at the library?
I don't think there's much in the library.
I mean, I don't mind going to the library if you want a break, Dorothy.
I mean, you could double team it.
Yeah.
I mean, like you've kind of dried up your leads now at the Boston.
The Boston. So, yeah.
I mean, it's really like, again, think about what your characters would do in this scenario. The following day, would you just sit in the office or at home waiting for the others to find something, or would you go to the library? Look, well, you know what, that lead is dry now.
I think I'd go to the library and see if there's anything about the house there for sure.
Yeah,
I think I would go to the station, although it's going to be uncomfortable.
Did you mention earlier on about going to speak to the family in that place
in the asylum? Yeah, you could go there.
Yeah,
I'll give that a go.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's all right. So do think about your skill sets. So if you're going to go and visit crazy people in a sanitarium, what would make you skilled at doing that, talking to crazy people, you know, a psychology skill or a charm skill?
My charm's pretty good.
Mine's not very...
My psychology is like 40, so...
Who's got the best library use skill?
I've got
60. I've got 60 on my library use, but I do have 70 on charm.
So. What have you got on library use?
Library use 60.
60, so you're better at library use.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you go to the library and then the caring, unassuming lady English was to teacher. Go talk.
To the mentals.
Wonderful. Can't wait.
yeah okay, so you go your separate ways. New day dawns, new day dawns. So we're gonna go police station, Dick Casey police station. Dave Pisswinkle is gonna take over at the library, as he seems to be a bit more successful at rooting through files and stuff, as a, you know, it's what he does for a living. And then poor old Dorothy, who has kind of getting pushed out of the way. She is like, oh, just there's nothing there. I've gone through it all, it's boring, nothing there. they're like, okay, why don't you go to the sanitarium and, you know, see if you can get anything out of the family that are there. So let's go to the sanatorium first then.
Exciting.
Okay. So you go in. Let me just try and think. So basically, you know, look, all I know about mental hospitals is really what I see on TV. So I imagine that there's probably, it's all cordoned off. You can't get through without keys and locks and stuff like that. But there's a receptionist and you can, or nurse at the kind of counter, and you can sign in as a guest to visit people. What do you do?
I'm gonna sign in as a guest and.
I don't know why I find that funny.
Am I allowed to? Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sign in as a visitor. Yes.
Oh, hello, dear. How are you here to see today?
I am here to see the the Mercutio family.
Oh, the Mercutio family.
That's the one. Sorry, I've got a different on my documents. Yes, yes.
Friends of the family, are we, dear?
I'm actually just here as a an old family friend from town. I've just come to see their well.
After. You must be. Let me just remember what their names are. Hold on a second.
No worries.
Vittorio is the husband.
Gabriella.
Vittorio. And I'm going to lose the accent. Gabriella.
Gabriella, yeah.
And the kids are staying with relatives out of town. So nicely done. So let's just say that they are. I don't know, let's say they're Gabriella's sister and husband. So, well, you must be. Are you? What's your name, please?
My name is Annie.
Annie.
Oh,
yeah. Lovely name.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, if you can just sign yourself in here, darling.
Yeah.
Who you're here to see, and we'll just. You will just need to empty all your pockets, no sharp objects, I'm afraid. And then one of the nurses will just take you through.
Fabulous, thank you. Should I just wait here?
Yeah, absolutely. And she this kind of like big gruff guy attendant comes out, you know, this, again, in the movies, like that guy is always like fucking huge, and why they're working in a hospital, who knows? It's shaved head, scar on his forehead. And it's just like, keys, purse, all on the table.
Okay.
Do you have any other sharp objects? Any weapons?
No.
He's ticking it off. Guns, knives.
No.
Poisons, needles.
No.
Cigarette lighters.
No.
Matches.
No.
Pins.
No.
tiaras.
No.
Ducks.
Ducks.
Oh, that maybe.
you kind of like, I'm assuming you'll just put everything that you've got inside this kind of case on there. And there's like, sign this form. You accept responsibility that we will not be held accountable on the loss of any items.
Yep, I understand.
Excellent. And he like opens the door, and I don't know, 1920, probably not electric locks, but it's like as the door just cracks open, and he takes you through, and he doesn't talk to you the whole way, and he's like, just wait in the waiting room, and you go in there, and there's this little kind of not old lady. Looks a lot older than she probably is. Crazy wild hair. I mean, you're like, you probably would picture her in her mid-40s, but she looks like she's in her 60s to 70s. And she's just sitting there playing draughts or something on a table with herself.
Hello. Are you Gabriella?
Ah, yes. Gabriella, how can I... Do I know you?
No, you don't know me. I've actually just come here just to ask you a few questions. Is that okay?
I suppose. I'm sorry. Please, sit down. Reset the board. Do you like to play? And she starts resetting her counters on drafts and stuff.
Yes, I would love to play. Yes, it's just a few questions. Basically, so you lived in a house around here, didn't you? Wasn't it 426 South Street?
And she just, her demeanor just changes, and she stops, and she's like, "That is, why do you mention that place?"
Yes, it's just come up in my documents a few times. Apparently there's been some strange occurrences there. I was wondering if you could tell me anything about that?
Listen, there's a evil presence lives in that house.
I see.
Needs... Oh, the nightmares, the noises, evil lives in that place. I wish we had never gone.
Oh, please forgive me. You were there with your family, weren't you?
My boys, Victorio Junior and Stefan.
Gabriella.
Yes, and was you there with your husband too?
Vittorio, yes. Senior. He's not the same.
I see.
He's awake now, sometimes.
Oh, I see. So, can you tell me exactly what happened in that house?
Don't know. Sometimes I wake up in the night and just find it's leaning over me. And sometimes when it's angry, a dish smash against the wall. Or sometimes I see tables floating. People say we're mad, but I know what I saw. And sometimes just in the corner of your eye, you see someone. You see it there. And then you look, and it's gone. Mostly, though, it hated my husband, Vittorio, and concentrated all its anger at him.
I see. And when you say it, what do you mean by that?
The evil. The devil.
I see.
For I have no other name for it.
Okay.
Cthulhu, the devourer of souls.
No, she doesn't say that.
I was going to say, I don't know what we do with that. She starts floating.
Her head spins round and she starts vomiting green acid everywhere.
Fuck me, Jesus. Fuck me, Jesus.
No. Yeah, that's pretty much all of the information you get from her. You can, if you wanted to, go and see Vitalio too, as if you wanted to.
Yes, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Pop him a visit.
So you ask the clerk guy to if you could see Vitalio to check that he's okay, because Gabriella said that he's now conscious.
Yes.
And he's in like a locked room, like a padded cell, but there's like a bed in there and a toilet and things like that, but they have to open the door to let you in. And he's sat there looking out staring out the window, clasping a Bible close to his chest, and he's just sitting there slowly rocking, muttering to himself.
Okay.
I was
hello, Vittorio. Hi. We haven't met before. I've just come in for a really brief conversation. Is that okay?
He turns around to you, looks at you, opens up the Bible. By his own weapon is the devil worsted. By his own weapon is the devil worsted. By his own weapon is the devil worsted. And then just starts shouting and like he's being attacked, like he's scared, and kind of dives off, like falls and dives off of his chair and kind of huddles into the corner, rocking backwards and forwards. By his own weapon, the devil will be worsted. By his own weapon, the devil will be worsted. By his own weapon, the devil will be worsted. By his own weapon, the devil will be worsted.
Okay. I think I'm going to come back another time. Thank you for your time.
And scene.
Okay. That receptionist, by any chance, does she look like Robin Williams?
Oh, hello, dear. I was thinking the same thing. That's probably it for this week's episode.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. The devil will be worsted by his own weapon. The devil will be worsted by his own weapon. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Something different. I hope you've had fun. You guys enjoying it? It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It'd be, I like the more role playing side of it. We'll figure out the mechanics at some point.
I largely think the mechanics are fairly simple. It's just getting used to that D100 roll and just
whatever you think is in the sheet instead of everything else. Yeah,
I do like how it's role play based. I like the pass fail kind of criteria. It's a lot simpler rather than having different target. You know, different a difficulty a DC difficulty class or attacking against an AC and stuff. It's nice that you can you know what you've got to achieve, and that's great. You know, you know on your character, well, I need to roll less than a 50, I need to roll less than this, and we haven't got into any situations yet where you have to then start pushing for that hard pass or that extreme success, which may, you know, I said may or may not come back into the game at another point. But it keeps it really, really simple, so once you get the hang of it, I can, you know, I don't need to tell you what your target is. I don't need to tell you if you've passed, because you're just going to roll it and you'll know, and then I can just give you that piece of information. I like the investigation side of it. I don't think, I mean, with D&D, like I said many times that I don't feel good enough to come up with my own adventures, like just because I'm not imaginative enough to do so, which is why I like following pre-written campaigns and adventure modules. And I think I would be the same with this. Like, I don't think that I could, my brain could not come up with a story like this. It just doesn't work that way. But whereas with D&D, not only would you have to come up with an adventure and then go, okay, so what's this bad guy's stats, and then, oh, here's a trap, what are the difficulty to get past the traps, what's the damage. I think writing an adventure in this would be a lot simpler, because you don't need to come up with those challenges, because it's on your character sheet. It's up to you to decide whether you pass or fail. So I think it would be a lot easier. But I've enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to hopefully we can.
It feels like this is obviously probably a lot more open in terms of what we can do, but it does feel like we've got a very clear path. You know, you said, like, there's three places you can go and explore and find out what you can.
100%. But it's also really open. Like, there is nothing that would have stopped you from just going, you know what, let's just go to the haunted house and see what's there. Like, you could have just done that with no information. And maybe it's haunted, maybe it's not. And if you find whatever is haunting it, you might just be lucky enough to defeat it, or die in the, or end up going crazy. Like, but you know, part of the mission that you're being paid for is, you know, like, I want to know what's going on here, because I bought this from an auction, and like, I don't know what I've got myself in for, and I can't seem to, you know, I can't set it on. What's going on? So yeah, I like that aspect of it. I think it's a well-written module for an introduction quest, because you know what, like, in all fairness, you're easily halfway through it, and we've done that in a really, I mean, the first hour was making characters, and then we've done half of it in an hour and a half, really. So
It's quite simple to a point, isn't it? Like,
been a pleasure having everybody. Thank you very much. You know where to find us in all the usual places. I hope you have a good week. Roll high, be safe. Is that my new catchphrase? Yeah, stealing it. Let the fates forever be in your favour. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bird bolt thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes, wrap up a bit of that old meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at langdongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's langdongames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Welcome to Roll play Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons and Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.